Please be seated. Good morning. Last week we heard about the whole counsel of God, so I thought I should preach from the New Testament today rather than the Old Testament. So Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. Friendly letter, encouraging letter. Not a lot of negative things here in this letter. Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 10. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that your word is our life and our strength. And now we pray that you would speak to us through it, through the power of your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I have a secret to share with you this morning. Perhaps you've heard this secret, but maybe it will be news to you. Here is the secret. There are health benefits to chocolate. Yes. Did you know that chocolate can lower blood pressure? And it can help the flow of blood. The smell of chocolate is supposed to increase brain waves, leading to relaxation. And men who eat chocolate live a year longer. The secret for today is eat more chocolate. Now, just to be clear, I'm not a medical doctor. So I'm not really encouraging you to eat more chocolate. I cannot guarantee this secret, but I really want it to be true. And I cannot say that I've experienced the full reality of this secret, but I really want to try. Paul also shares a secret with us from our passage this morning, verse 12. I have learned the secret. And from verse 11, we see that this secret has to do with contentment. And he is going to share this secret with us. Now, you would think that such a secret could be used to make millions of dollars. But here we have the secret freely given, without cost. So what is the secret of contentment, and what effect would this secret have on our lives? Well, Paul reveals the secret in verse 13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. The first thing that Paul says is, I can do. I can do, right? Perhaps the secret of contentment is how we respond to the various circumstances of life. Paul says in verse 12 that he has learned how to face plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Paul faced experiences in his life when he was very poor and he had nothing. And he faced situations in life when he had everything he needed. And he emphasizes his response in this passage, verses 11 and 12, twice he says, I have learned. And then twice he says, I know how. And so it seems that Paul has come to know the secret of contentment in how he has responded to his experiences in life. So maybe it's the response to life experiences that is the secret of contentment. Well, what we do in response to life's experience is important for learning contentment, but it's not the secret. Yet, we can learn a few things from the phrase, I can do, about contentment. Contentment is not the absence of response. It's not the absence of desire. It's not the absence of the drive to do something. It's not a do-nothing attitude that has no direction in life. One day, the father of the famous Webster brothers found his boys just lounging around the house. What are you doing, Ezekiel? Nothing. What are you doing, Daniel? Helping Ezekiel, sir. Resourceful boys. Contentment is not a state of passivity where we receive everything that comes our way without any response. We don't stoically accept whatever happens without emotion or reaction. Contentment is a response to life that must be learned through the trials of life, but our response is not the secret to contentment. Part of the problem is contentment does not come to us naturally. How do we normally respond to the problems of life? Worry, anxiety. I mean, worry is such an integral part of our lives that sometimes we feel if we're not worrying about something, something must be wrong. Maybe you've experienced that. No, our response is not the secret to contentment. Well, if response is not the secret, then maybe our circumstances are the secret to contentment. If we could just make sure we have the right circumstances in life, then maybe we would experience contentment. I mean, we understand it's hard to be content in difficult circumstances. It would be hard to be content if you don't have food and you're hungry. Hard to be content if you don't have enough money to pay your expenses. Hard to be content if you are facing a major illness in life. And too often we think that if our circumstances were different, then we would be content. If I could just change certain circumstances. Better job, better grades, maybe just passing Greek would be good. If I could get married, if I could get out of my marriage, if I could just change my circumstances, then I could be content. Or maybe we think if I could just experience the good things in life. If my life was full of blessings, if there were no major problems, no major needs in life, no major illness, then I could be content. Isn't that how it works? Well, no, not really. The secret of contentment is not found in our circumstances. It's not found in having more than we need, even much, much more than we need. Having it made financially for life is not the secret. Material blessings in life are good. They are good things, but they do not bring contentment to our lives. Perhaps one day you will have more than you need, but if you make that the goal of your life, you won't be content. Instead, an abundance of material blessings can lead to spiritual apathy or even spiritual forgetfulness. Moses warned the people of Israel in Deuteronomy 6 that when they come into the land that God has given to them and they have an abundance and they take over houses that they have not built and vineyards that they have not planted and God pours out his blessings upon them and fills them with great abundance and they have more than they need, they eat to their full. What does God warn them of? Do not forget the God who has given you all of these blessings. You see, when life is good, we tend to enjoy the blessings so much that we forget the God. We forget God, the God who gave us all of those blessings. Those blessings, those good things in life can many times begin to take center stage. And instead of worshiping God, our attention shifts to keeping and acquiring more and more of those good things. And it can be all-consuming, so consuming that God takes a back seat. Adversity tends to drive us to God. Prosperity tends to numb us to our need of God. Well, the fact that we don't always respond well to the circumstances of life shows that circumstances are not the secret to contentment. Whether you abound in plenty or whether you're barely making ends meet, each has its own spiritual pitfalls. No situation, no circumstance in life can ever be the source of contentment. There is no dream that, if it is fulfilled, will guarantee contentment. Well, if circumstances are not the secret of contentment and our response is not the secret of contentment, then what is the secret of contentment? Verse 13, Paul says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Here is the secret, free of charge. God is the source of contentment. Contentment is not found by looking within ourselves. It's not found in anything on this earth. It's not found within the horizon of life itself. Nothing in this life can completely satisfy. No formula, no ritual can bring about contentment. The secret of contentment is found in recognizing that the source of contentment is God himself. Contentment comes from actively seeking God, no matter what your circumstances are. We are in a relationship with a personal God with whom we interact and to whom we bring all of our concerns. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Contentment is like joy in this regard. We experience joy even in difficult circumstances because the source of joy is not our circumstances. The source of joy is God himself. So we can have contentment in difficult circumstances if we but seek God. We can experience contentment no matter what is going on in our lives because we are in a relationship with the God of this universe, the creator of this universe, who owns all things. Contentment comes from knowing the God who has all things in his hands and is working all things for his glory and our good. Jeremiah Burroughs, in The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment, defines contentment this way. It's that sweet, inward, quiet, gracious frame of spirit which freely submits to and delights in God's wise and fatherly disposal in every condition. It's the attitude expressed in Psalm 131, which talks about a calm and quiet soul that is like a weaned child. A weaned child is not always yearning for food, the source of food, but is calm, quiet, satisfied. Because you believe that God is working out his purposes in your life, you know that he will supply everything that you need. That's what he basically says in verse 19. My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You know the King of the universe, Jesus Christ himself, in whom are all the riches of glory. This life is short. Eternity never ends. If contentment is available to every believer, then it does not matter what is going on in your life. This divine source of rest and satisfaction can be yours. And it can be yours today. Circumstances of life are the crucible in which we learn contentment. And that's what Paul tells us in this passage. I've learned in whatever situation to be content, verse 11. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in every circumstance, verse 12. I can face plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Paul says, whether I'm abounding in prosperity, whether I'm suffering from hunger, it doesn't matter. I've learned to be content in every circumstance of life because God is the source of contentment. When we first went to Rochester, New York, I was a pastor in Rochester, New York for 10 years. It was a small church, an urban church. It barely paid us enough money for us to survive. Very lean times early on. Now it got better as the years went. But it was a treat for us to go to our favorite restaurant, Swiss Chalet. I don't think they have any down here in the South. I wish they did. We only went two or three times a year. We didn't have the money to afford it. But God provided in many wonderful ways. We were completely dependent upon Him, but we were content because we were exactly, we knew this, we were exactly where He wanted us to be, and we trusted each day that He would provide for our needs. The secret of contentment is God Himself. Yet how many people are there in the world today that don't know this secret? And they seek contentment in a variety of ways. At one point, I Googled remedies for stress. Very interesting. Several of them you can find. Stress management therapy, an alternative natural remedy for stress relief. Or you can get a relaxing hypnosis CD that will make you feel wonderful. Guaranteed. Or breathe stress away. Effective stress reduction software and device for only $195. Here's my favorite. Stress is for lame people. Get it fixed. Stop whining. Only $67. Or we can seek God, the source of contentment, and it's free of charge. Most of us know people who have faced tough situations, major illnesses, some other tragedy of life, and how they respond can be a real source of encouragement. When I was writing my commentary on Job, I was reminded of an RTS Charlotte couple. If you've been around here long enough, maybe you remember them, Nick and Lindsay Franks, whose baby boy, Pierce, was born 17 weeks premature. It's about 4 months. And he was only given about 20 to 30% chance of actually living. Well, they blogged about their experiences. And it's a remarkable account of the pain and the grief they experienced, but also how God worked in wonderful ways. And so what I did was I used many of their blog posts to tell the story of Pierce in my Job commentary. So after each chapter, there's a short account of the development of the life of Pierce and all the experiences that they went through. And it's a riveting story. You might want to even skip my commentary on Job and just read their story. About a month after his birth, he weighed 2 pounds, and Lindsay, the mom, wrote these words. She says, I stumbled upon this quote this morning, and I thought it was so appropriate during this trying time. It says, God allows in his wisdom that which he could easily prevent in his power. As I reflected on that today, I had such a peace that God has indeed allowed this for a reason. God is not a distant father who ignores us and our problems. No, in fact, God allows these dark times in our lives for a reason. He has a purpose in all this. Many of you are probably asking a question that we have wrestled with in the past. What is his purpose? How could a loving God allow our baby to suffer through such gut-wrenching times? She says the answer is made clear throughout Scripture to demonstrate the glory and the sufficiency of Christ. She ends the post with these words: "The Lord is truly the only all-satisfying thing that you could ever cling to." Contentment never comes easy. It must be learned in the crucible of life. But as the hymn reminds us, there is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. God is the true source of contentment. And so seek him in every circumstance of life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this assurance that you have given to us. Help us to be faithful and to seek you. And may you pour out upon us peace, joy, contentment. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.